Good morning, and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Monday, April 29th. On today's show, the Global Innovation Lab for Climate Finance surpasses 100 member organizations, and financial pessimism is rising alongside interest rates and inflation. Plus, find out how taxing big fossil fuel firms could raise $900 billion in climate finance by 2030. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with some exciting news in the world of climate finance. The Global Innovation Lab for Climate Finance, known as the LAB, has announced a major expansion in its membership. Over 100 public and private organizations have joined forces to accelerate climate finance innovation and drive private investments in emerging markets. Here with more details is our correspondent. Can you tell us more about this expansion and what it means for the LAB's efforts?
The LAB's membership has grown nearly fourfold in the past decade, from 29 organizations in 2014 to 110 global and regional members today. Notably, private sector participation has increased, with private members now making up 55% of the total, compared to 41% in 2014. This growth follows successful launches of the LAB's regional programs in places like the Philippines, Latin America, and the Caribbean. The expanded membership strengthens the LAB's ability to identify and develop transformative financial instruments for tackling climate change.
How has the LAB's diverse membership contributed to its success in mobilizing climate finance?
The LAB's portfolio mobilization figures, which now exceed $4 billion, are largely a result of direct investments from its membership network. These member institutions bring crucial expertise, support, and financial capital that amplifies the LAB's capacity to catalyze sustainable investments in emerging markets. The collaborative spirit among members has proven to be a powerful force for developing innovative climate finance solutions.
Can you share any thoughts from the LAB's leadership on this membership expansion?
Ben Brochet, who leads the LAB's efforts at Climate Policy Initiative, emphasized that the LAB's membership is the core driver of its success. He highlighted how members' expertise and dedication, combined with their financial commitments, enhance the LAB's ability to scale up impactful climate finance initiatives globally. Additionally, Elvira Lefting from Finance in Motion, a new global member, expressed excitement in supporting the LAB's selection process and contributing to the development of outstanding climate finance endeavors.
Thank you for those insights into the Global Innovation Lab for Climate Finance's growing membership and its implications for accelerating climate action in emerging markets. This expansion certainly seems to position the LAB well for continuing to develop innovative instruments to drive critical climate investments where they are needed most. On the topic of finances, a recent poll shows that many people around the world are feeling financially stressed, despite some positive economic indicators. The CNBC and SurveyMonkey poll of 4,000 people in several countries found that about half are stressed about their finances and falling behind on retirement planning, with inflation being the top concern. For more on this, we turn to our Simply Finance correspondent. What did you make of these poll results?
The poll results underscore the financial anxiety that many people are still experiencing, even as the worst of the inflation crisis appears to be easing. For a lot of people, the rapid rise in prices over the past year has eaten into their budgets and forced difficult trade-offs. Even those with good jobs are finding that the lifestyle and financial goals they once thought were attainable now seem out of reach due to the higher cost of living.
The article mentions the story of Mark Dunham, a 34-year-old process engineer in Mississauga who is reevaluating what's possible for him financially. Despite a solid career, he's concerned about affording things like a home and raising a family.
Mark's story is one that will likely resonate with many young professionals. Even those who have done everything right in terms of their education and career are finding themselves priced out of the lifestyle they expected to be able to afford. With home prices and rents surging in many areas, even modest goals like owning a home with space for a family can start to seem unattainable. This is causing many to rethink their plans and potentially make difficult compromises.
Do you think these financial stresses and changing expectations could have broader economic impacts?
Absolutely. When large swaths of the population are financially stretched and pessimistic about their economic futures, it can lead to pullbacks in spending on discretionary purchases and big-ticket items. We may see young adults delaying things like starting families or buying homes. More broadly, pervasive financial stress can weigh on consumer confidence in spending, acting as a headwind for the overall economy. While inflation is moderating and interest rates may come down, these poll results suggest many are still facing challenging financial circumstances that could take time to recover from.
Thank you for the update on the current financial challenges many are facing. On a related note, a new report suggests that a tax on fossil fuel companies based in the world's richest countries could raise hundreds of billions of dollars to help vulnerable nations cope with the worsening climate crisis. The Climate Damages Tax Report calculates that an additional tax on fossil fuel majors based in OECD countries could raise $720 billion by 2030. Here with more details is our correspondent. What would this proposed tax entail, and how would the funds be used?
The report proposes an extraction levy on fossil fuel companies in wealthy OECD nations, with the tax starting at $5 per ton of CO2 equivalent in 2024 and increasing by $5 per ton each year. By 2030, this could raise a total of $900 billion. The majority of those funds, $720 billion, would go to the Loss and Damage Fund established at COP28 to help vulnerable countries cope with the devastating impacts of climate change. The remaining $180 billion would be used domestically in the taxing countries to support a just transition away from fossil fuels.
And what has been the reaction from climate organizations to this proposal? It seems like it could be an effective way to hold fossil fuel companies financially accountable for their role in the climate crisis.
Absolutely. The report has received backing from major environmental groups worldwide, including Greenpeace, who argue that governments can no longer allow ordinary people to foot the bill while oil executives reap massive profits. They see this climate damages tax as a powerful tool to unlock critical funding for communities on the front lines of the climate emergency, while also accelerating the transition away from fossil fuels globally. As we've seen, from crippling droughts in Africa to catastrophic flooding in Pakistan, the world is already grappling with the deadly consequences of a warming planet.
The timing of this report is also significant, coming as the newly formed Loss and Damage Fund Board prepares to meet for the first time to discuss financing. And G7 ministers are gathering to discuss climate issues as well. What impact could a climate damages tax have if implemented just among G7 countries?
The report finds that even if this tax was only introduced in G7 states, where many international oil and gas companies are based, it could still raise $540 billion for the Loss and Damage Fund by 2030, with an additional $135 billion generated for climate action within the G7 nations themselves. So while an OECD-wide tax would have the greatest impact, a G7-focused approach could still mobilize substantial resources. Ultimately, as the report's authors argue, it's a matter of the world's richest, most powerful countries taking responsibility for their outsized contribution to the climate crisis.
Thanks for that in-depth look at this proposed climate damages tax. It will certainly be an issue to watch as the Loss and Damage Fund takes shape and the world grapples with how to finance climate action and adaptation. On the topic of finance, U.S. asset managers are increasing their Bitcoin portfolio allocations, according to recent reports. Legacy Wealth Asset Management from Minnesota and United Capital Management from Kansas have invested $20 million in Bitcoin through Fidelity's ETF, bringing their portfolio allocations to 6% and 5% respectively. Meanwhile, a new player in the crypto space, Boro Finance, is making waves with its innovative approach to crowdfunding. Here with more details is our Simply Finance correspondent. So what can you tell us about these moves by the asset managers?
Well, David, these allocations by Legacy Wealth and United Capital Management have surpassed the $17 million that was previously invested into BlackRock's ETF and IBIT. Interestingly, United Capital Management briefly posted a banner on their website saying, "We're coming for your coins, DGENs." But it was quickly taken down. Overall, this influx of nearly $41 million into Fidelity's Bitcoin ETF has boosted spot Bitcoin ETF inflows, dominating the outflows seen in the second week of April. However, despite these significant investments, there has been minimal impact so far on Bitcoin's price trend.
Interesting. So a lot of money flowing in, but not moving the needle much on price yet. Now, what about this Boro Finance? They seem to be attracting a lot of investor attention in the pre-sale phase.
Yes, Boro Finance is positioning itself as a pioneer in the CrossFi space. They've developed an AI-powered funding marketplace that allows Web3 users and businesses to generate upfront cash by converting future earnings into tradable NFTs. This innovative crowdfunding approach, combined with features like token burn strategies and liquidity lock mechanisms for their ROE utility token, has investors excited. Boro has already raised nearly $4 million by selling around 300 million ROE tokens in the presale so far.
$4 million is an impressive presale raise. What's the outlook for ROE once it hits the broader market after the presale?
Well, ROE is currently priced at 2 cents in the presale, but once it goes live on exchanges after the presale, it will start trading at 2.5 cents. So investors who get in now could be looking at 150% return right off the bat when that happens. Of course, as with any crypto investment, folks need to do their own careful research. But Boro Finance is certainly one to watch in the CrossFi space.
Fascinating developments in the crypto markets to keep an eye on. Thanks for the insights today. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.